Today we're talking to Jennifer Farringer from the DePaul National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, Rochester area. Did I get it all right?
You did, Dino, this. Perfect.
Oh, my God. I was so afraid because there's so many letters here. So first and foremost, maybe give us, because you and I just discussed this before we turned the microphones on, people just say DePaul, but there's so many facets to DePaul,
there
departments.
Are.
So your department is the dependency that, give us an overview.
Yeah,
maybe.
So DePaul services have been around a long time. They're wide in terms of covering senior living, mental health, housing, a variety of resources. We're the only part of DePaul that covers addiction-related services, and our area specifically is around professional, community, education, prevention, referral.
See, I never knew that because I just thought it was addiction. Because wasn't there an office on East Ave at one time?
Briefly, there was DePaul Addiction Services, which was formerly MainQuest, which was formerly...
Okay.
Been in the field.
Maybe that's
time.
Why I was confused.
Yeah,
because I've reached out to you before in DePaul, and you're like, no, it's more the NCAD. And I'm like, okay. So I got to figure it out now. So right now in September, we're talking about FASD, which is Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Disorder, or Spectrum Disorder, excuse me. Tell us what you want people to know.
So number one is it's totally preventable. I think that's the biggest message. If there were no more women drinking during pregnancy, we would have zero cases of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So that's the most important. And believe it or not, still in 2022, that message isn't always clearly delivered. Or people think, well, it's okay in my second trimester, or maybe my first or my third. And really the safest advice, if you really want to ensure that you have the best outcome and the healthiest child, simply don't use during pregnancy.
Exactly. And it's funny because, you know, old school people, I mean, I'm in my 60s and we remember, now my mom was not a drinker, never has been. She's tiny. But, you know, you talk to people in my age group are like, oh, my mom used to drink and that, you know, and I turned out fine. And I'm like, well, that's your opinion, but but it's really changed. And I thought, I mean, when my wife's pregnant, I mean, my kids are 30 and 28 now. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, she just stopped. Mm-hmm. Actually, when she first got pregnant with our first son, she was a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And she just stopped cold turkey and she's never smoked again.
That's amazing. That's
incredible. Like 30 years ago, you know? So what does DePaul do to help this? I mean, is it just education? I mean,
So we do a variety. NCADD Council does a variety thing around addiction topics, and this is one of them. So our primary area is education, spreading the word, offering community professional educations to understand what is fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, what it is, what it isn't, how would you work with someone if you have someone in the classroom, for example, in the school, or if you're in a community site, you know, if someone presents, are you dealing with them, understanding the constraints and the difficulties around FASD? So it's a kind of a brain processing issue, very much so for young people, young adults. And not all have been diagnosed, so they might not even know that they're affected. And again, it's important to say FASD because it's a spectrum disorder. There's people that are very, very mildly affected, and you may not even know that they have issues, but there might be some sort of behavioral, or they might find difficulty reading or math. And then there's some that are severely affected, you know, where it's fairly evident there's strong behavioral and strong difficulties in school.
Sure. So, I mean, do you start at the doctor's office? I mean, do you to educate a pregnant woman?
So luckily, the American group around OBGYN, pediatrics, that message is getting out there. It depends really on when folks were trained, because if you look at the early medical texts, they didn't even mention FAS or FASD. You know, and again, it's 100% preventable. Now I'm fairly certain, because I ask audiences when I go out, okay, if you were pregnant in the last decade or two decades, how many of you heard clear warning or advice from your physician not to smoke, not to drink during your pregnancy? And what I've found, over I've been in the field for 30 years, what I found certainly in the last 20 years, that fewer and fewer hands go up in terms of never having known. So that's good. More and more women are becoming aware from the point of mm-hmm. the doctor's office. So that's one place. That's a really good place to know. But to get it out to the communities too as well, just so there's no confusion, because we still hear the occasional person who really is under the illusion, it's okay if it's the first trimester, or it's okay if the last. So any right. trimester yeah. can impact at some point of the development of the brain of the unborn child.
And they're like, you hear this occasionally. I'm just having a glass of wine.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's, and then yeah. they think they're yeah. okay with that yeah. too, right?
Yeah. And honestly, it's for certain, it's if someone is drinking heavily, the impact is going to be far, far greater. But it's like Russian roulette. Do you want to take that chance of drinking right. just that glass of wine if you happen to be at a certain developmental window in the unborn child's yeah. you know, development to negatively impact that? So it's a matter of, do you want to take the risk?
So it says here that the prevalence is 2 to 5% per 1,000 births.
Yes.
Which turns out to be 40,000 people a year.
It's significant. And we know much more around autism, and we're aware about mm-hmm. autism spectrum disorder. Right. But actually, FASD is at least as prevalent, if not more prevalent. And I think because of some of the stigma that alcoholism carries, that mm-hmm. it may not be as widely known
yeah,
as
I mean,
certainly autism.
Well, here's the problem. If you say my child has autism, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But they really have fetal alcohol syndrome. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then it's on you. And maybe...
That's a big part of it. So if it's the birth mom, for sure, there is a lot of shame and guilt around it. And there are some amazing support groups for moms who are birth moms with...
That's where I was going next.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Through the national organization, FASD United. And those links are all on our website.
Hey, what's your website again?
Our website is www.NCADD-RA.org. Again, those acronyms.
That's the one. That's what always got me confused. And I was like, yeah. Oh, was that me?
That was me. Sorry about that.
It's okay. It happens. What else? The NA, what is it? NCADD RA. Mm-hmm. What other things do you guys do? Can we tell people overall?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's one thing,
yeah.
is fetal alcohol.
So, but just let me add one thing to the FASD. Mm-hmm. We also offer a parent support group.
Oh,
so
good.
In
okay.
these, and not by design, so it certainly wasn't put out there that only adoptive parents participate, mm-hmm. but that's what we've seen. So what we've seen is, not recently, but a larger number of parents adopting, for example, Russia. There seemed to be a trend.
Oh, right.
And
right,
adopting
right.
from Russia, you had little to no background information. So parents were adopting what they thought were healthy children, only to get into year two and three and say, something just is not right here.
Right.
So the majority of our parents, we offer these monthly. We had been meeting at our Buffalo Road site, but of uh-huh. course, since COVID and things being a bit more shut down
right.
until we're open again, we've been having those meetings via Zoom
okay.
virtually.
All right. So are you open yet now, or are you still Zooming?
So partially. So we're still Zooming. I'm hoping in the fall that things partially open up, and then it'll be a matter of parents' level of comfortability. They may say, no, let's just keep the support group virtual. Some now have moved out of state, and they appreciate that.
They have
that.
To keep it.
Exactly.
That's their only alternative.
Exactly. So I think we have a hybrid availability at our location, so we can do either. But the point is to keep them connecting.
What here's an example maybe you can help somebody with. Say your child is pregnant, mm-hmm. or somebody you know, mm-hmm. your niece or somebody mm-hmm. like that. They're pregnant, and they're on that, I can have a drink here and there bus.
Right.
What would you do? Could you guide them to guide the pregnant woman?
We could certainly give them a lot of information on that. So it's a matter
of... Give them some ammo.
Exactly. But we call it, instead of confrontation, carefrontation.
Right.
I really care about you, and I know you care about the health of your child-to-be. So for the best possible outcome, let's look at this. And did you know? And let's explore the potential result or outcome if you choose to drink during pregnancy. And then if someone, for example, say it's a woman or a person that's having a really difficult time stopping, mm-hmm. maybe she's addicted. She has priority access to treatment, any treatment site, mm-hmm. if she's a pregnant woman, because it's imperative that someone stops as soon as they know. And maybe they don't even know they're pregnant until, say, the first trimester. That happens as well. And they've already drank. Do you say, I've already had a drink, so don't worry about it? No. As soon as you can stop drinking, again, you increase the outcome of a healthy baby. And that's what everybody wants.
And as I mentioned about my wife, who was a smoker, mm-hmm. and she just stopped cold turkey. We've been married 31 years now, and she hasn't smoked since. Mm-hmm. What about marijuana?
Marijuana, yes, that's a whole other topic, but we absolutely do know that there's an impact from marijuana on the unborn child. And what we're hearing, sadly, is at some of the dispensaries, they're actually suggesting that marijuana might help with a variety of pregnancy issues.
Oh, and you mean the aches and pains and the illness?
Or morning sickness, whatever.
Right.
But what we're hearing from a variety of resources, and there's a lot of data to support this, that there is definitely an impact on the unborn child. It's different from FASD, but there's an impact in terms of kind of, how would you say, you're sort of priming that child's brain to become more at risk for being addicted themselves.
Right.
And not only priming them to possibly become addicted to marijuana, but other drugs as well.
Right.
So it's a lose-lose situation. So again, you're affecting the healthy outcome of your unborn child if you choose to do that.
Yeah, you want the healthiest kid possible.
Exactly.
So just abstain.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a clear choice right there.
It really is.
NCADD-RA.org. All the information is there. If you want to talk to somebody, that you have plenty of people on staff, mm-hmm. I assume, mm-hmm. that can talk to somebody. And I know there's so many other elements under your umbrella that we need to talk about down the road, right?
Absolutely.
Because we're out of time today.
Okay.
But we just wanted everybody to know about FASD, that is fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. Don't drink if you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the healthiest child possible. And more information, NCADD-RA.org. Jennifer Faringer, thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much,
Dina. And we'll bring you in again. We got to talk about opioids. We got to talk about fentanyl. We got to talk about mm-hmm. all that stuff is under your umbrella,
absolutely.
Too, right?
So
mm-hmm. if anybody has any questions about that, go to your website.
Yep.
Thanks
absolutely.
So much.
Thank you.